Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I am Zach.
And we are back. It's Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Hopefully you didn't have any silverfish in your ear.
We will find out tonight, I guess, because we are still recording this.
Yes, we are.
Now I get to go through this whole week with that fear in my head, so I appreciate it.
All right, well, I won't bring it up anymore for you. We're talking about minute 31 through 32 today. We left off halfway through a conversation where Chani was saying in Chikobza, he, Paul, doesn't know how to cross. Stilgar is going to get him killed. What is he trying to prove? In Shishkali's response, what do you think? The prophet shall know the ways of the desert. I think it's for the best. What's this? You care for him now?
Yeah, and a couple things happen as she's saying this.
Chani's glare is softening.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Only that hard cocoon exterior is only just starting to break a little bit.
She's still got the very stone cold scowl that she's been sporting for all of the movie on. I think it's important to note here that it's obvious what he's doing, but I just want to make sure that we say it out loud. Stilgar is trying to prove to others that Paul fits this person from his legends.
Yep. He's trying to force prophecy being true.
Yeah. So a successful desert crossing is just another piece of evidence towards that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're talking about. Neither of them think that Paul's going to survive this because he's just some, you know,
he's a boy.
He's
from
some
off
jumped
planet.
Up, jumped up off-worlder.
Yeah,
that is trying to fit in. We'll talk a lot more about that later on in the week. But yeah, so Shishkali thinks it's for the best. Yeah, let him die. Let him go out and die. This will prove Stilgar wrong, and we will go back to the being normal.
Yeah,
is what I'm picking up from her.
I think that's exactly what's going on here. Before we leave this dialogue, though, Chani responds, he's not like other strangers. He's sincere.
Yeah.
And I think because of everything that we saw last week with Paul being like, yeah, no, I'm not your savior. Like, I'm just here to learn your shit only to get to the emperor. He's starting to, we're seeing him do that, like, play both sides kind of thing. And Chani is falling for it.
I won't say she's falling for it. I mean, I think she's the most accurate read on everything.
Sure. Maybe falling for it isn't the way to go, but she's beginning to take the bait.
Buying into it, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like she's got a pretty accurate read on at least most of Paul right now, like what he's actually trying to get across. We had that weird conversation in the cantina. The Siege Cantina, where Paul's like, he kind of like chides his mom a little bit for the Bene Gesserit planning the prophecies. And then he's like immediately like, I'm going to sway the non-believers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That thing, which was a pretty big pendulum swing for him. But I think when he says like, hey, I'm not here to be your leader or messiah or anything. I'm just here to learn and basically get my revenge. I think that's him telling the truth. He's not here to lead them per se. He's here to use them.
Yeah. No, he can sway the non-believers and not be their leader at the same time.
Right. Exactly. So I think what this really is Chani's affection starting to come out.
Maybe.
I think it's more of a, hey, this guy's, you know, Timothy Chalamet is kind of cute. So I'm sure she said that in Chikopsa or something, but
we don't hear it, though.
Yeah,
because at this point, we are cut into some wide sweeping shots of the desert. And Paul's, you know, beginning to head down into the Urg. We have some nighttime or some sunset shots of Dune.
Yep. You get a really cool, like, sun setting and the two moons
while being eclipsed,
yeah,
you know, only partially kind of shot. That was I know Star Wars takes a lot from Dune, but that imagery right there was a very Star Wars-esque kind of shot. If I had to, you know, kind of call it back to anything.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So the last little like shot of the sand blowing across the top of the desert.
Yeah.
I think this is a good segue into the next like little bit of this minute, really the back half of this minute.
Sure, because there's not really any more dialogue per se, but there's a couple things. A
couple little things, but so we get a shot of the like kind of a close up on the desert, and we see the sand being blown pretty rapidly across the top of the desert. So it's fairly strong winds that Paul's up against here. Did this sound evoke anything in you?
It sounded like very airy breathing.
Okay.
Like kind of raspy breathing almost.
Okay. I see. I picked out something different from that. Okay. I remember what you're saying. Did you ever have one of those cactus rainmaker sticks, like rain sound sticks?
I never had one, but like we had them in our band room and everything.
Okay.
You know, just as auxiliary percussion or whatever for,
sure,
you know, whatever weird shit we were doing.
So this sound jumped out to me immediately because I had one at home.
Yeah.
I do not know where it came from.
Does anyone know where those ever come from? I feel like they're just passed around to various people at, you know, different points in time.
I don't know. But we had one and
they're neither created nor destroyed.
They just always exist.
Yeah.
I may still have it somewhere like in a closet, but because it would be something that I wouldn't get rid of.
Yeah.
If I had the option of not getting rid of it. But that sound,
it chooses like, its own destiny, Zach.
That sound came back to me immediately.
Yeah.
So I looked up like some just examples of those different kinds of rain sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So it is they're primarily, I think the ones that I saw were from South America.
Yep.
They're long, skinny, just dried out cactus husks, where the pins of the cactus, the needles, were taken off and then shoved inward in the cactus in kind of like a lattice pattern going all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
The dried out husk is then filled with like pebbles and seeds and just all sorts of little bits. And as you slow, and then the ends are capped with little pieces of wood and sealed up.
Sure.
So as you slowly tilt this over, the pebbles and seeds and whatever is on the inside slowly start to trickle through the cactus needles that are protruding on the inside, and it makes a sound that is super unique.
Yeah, it's a rain stick.
It is. I mean, it's a rain stick, but even amongst rain sticks, this type is very unique.
Hmm.
And it rang out like a bell to me when I heard it.
All right.
So I love the sound of this. And if you look online, there's this, older video of these two dudes who I think are selling them, but they're going through different lengths of the rain sticks. And the one they're using in the movie, if it wasn't done or if it didn't go through a lot of like heavy post-processing, which it probably did, sounds to be like a 26 through 30 inch rain stick.
Call someone on the sound effects team.
I don't know. I'm just saying that's what I heard. It had the right sound to me. So I can just picture someone slowly tilting and turning this as the sand is blowing across the screen. And I love it. It's a really, really cool sound.
Well, while that's happening, something's moving underneath the sand.
Yes.
Something small, but fast.
Yes. And I don't think we ever get closure on this, which bothers me.
No. Sand trout?
That's where my mind went immediately. Yeah.
Like
that would be a hell of a thing to introduce and then never talk about again.
It also made a really weird, like
guttural sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some kind of like weird animal sound.
Yeah. And subtitle just says creature snarls.
Yeah.
So doesn't give us a whole lot there.
In my head, sand trout.
Could be.
Because that makes the most sense for something that small to be moving.
Maybe it's one of them baby centipedes that Stilgar warned us about.
Maybe. Who knows? But what else on Arrakis goes underneath the sand that quickly?
I don't know. I mean, there's, according to what you said yesterday, there's a whole lot of life there that we have not been introduced to yet. So we from the sand and the creature snarling and making its way underneath the surface of the sand, we cut to Paul doing his sand walk.
Yep. Just making his way downtown.
Shuffling fast. Shuffling fast.
And no faces are passing.
Well, one face is passed.
Well.
But he's Urk bound for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard, but that same like breathy sound is still happening here. Mm-hmm. As Paul is shifting his way across the sands. You know, Paul's just kind of doing his thing. We end the minute with a tracking shot from the side, though.
Yeah.
As a figure of a person sitting down begins to kind of like slide into frame from the right.
Yeah. So Paul's like in between two dunes, like a gully almost in between two dunes. And yeah, we see the camera track and then someone's watching him from above. And we just see
maybe something.
Maybe someone or something for sure. And we just see the back. So we don't know who this is just yet. And that is where our minute ends right there. So anything else from Art and Soul or from the Dune Encyclopedia or anything like that?
Nothing from Art and Soul or Encyclopedia for this.
Okay.
It's just kind of nature shots.
Yeah.
Isn't that neat?
It's pretty neat. All right, cool.
I think that's going to do for today, but you can find us online on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com. You can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We will be back with a Wednesday episode tomorrow. We'll see you then.
See you.